know what they were thinking with the minute and a half to go.
That was
but
crazy.
But you take advantage and make your own good fortune, and that's what the defense and then offense
teams
was
that
able
are
to do.
Average, mediocre, or not that good, bad, whatever you category you want to put, do things like that, and you have to take advantage of it. And the Badgers did before the half. I don't care what you say. And then the other thing, Billy, is I thought it was an astute observation. Once again, give props to Patrick Herb during the game. Luke Fickell, after last year, decided, you know what? We're not just going to give people positions on special teams because they don't get tick. They don't get playing time.
I like that. With the,
you're going to earn it, and that's why there's a number of starters. And you saw Hunter Waller caught them napping. On Northwestern, everybody thought he was going to fair catch that ball. He actually advanced it 17 yards, and that in a field position game, especially next week, could be huge. I don't like the fact that a field goal got blocked, but on the other end of it, like you said, with Will Pauling and other starters playing on special teams, you are going to see game-breaking, making, whatever type plays.
Yeah.
And once again, I'm going to say it, if you beat a Penn State, you're probably not going to blow them out. I'm just going to go there. And so every point counts.
For sure.
Field goal could matter. Little plays like that could mean a world of difference.
You got to dominate the margins in a game like that. If you're trying to pull off an upset like that coming up next week, you're going to need to dominate those very minute moments of the game.
Like Spencer Williams dominates that board over there.
Well, I don't necessarily know dominating is the right way of putting it, Lance.
Yeah.
Potentially breaking stuff in here could be exactly what he's doing.
He does have that anger management attitude.
Before we allow Spencer to potentially break anything else and we go any further, I think it's time that we allow our local stations across the Badger Sports Network to identify themselves. 10 for an ID. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
23-3, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Northwestern Wildcats on the lakefront today, improved to 5-2 overall, 3-1 in Big Ten Conference play. Lance Allen's right there. I'm Bill Schmidt. We got a lot more coming up. The local Wisconsin and UP4 dealers postgame show continues in a moment. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Like football, retirement planning takes preparation. I'm Tony Drake with Drake & Associates. We help you craft a solid game plan to tackle financial challenges. Text Bucky to 262-600-2782 for a complimentary consultation and our free retirement-ready toolkit. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
This Halloween, don't just scream for candy. Treat your taste buds to something spooktacular. It's True Moo Whole Orange Cream Milk, a yummy treat that's mummy approved. The product features the perfect balance of orange and vanilla flavors and is packed with 8 grams protein per 8-ounce serving. True Moo Whole Orange Cream Milk is sure to be a crowd pleaser for your little goblins. True Moo Whole Orange Cream Milk, where every sip is a trick or treat. Grab yours today at Piggly Wiggly.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We know you're a fan, but is Badger pride in your blood? Here's your chance to prove it. This season, Abbott and the Big Ten are kicking off the largest blood donation competition of our lifetime to fight one of the worst blood shortages in a generation. Simply visit bigten.org/Abbott to sign up for the We Give Blood Drive and help settle once and for all that the Badgers give the most spirit. Again, visit bigten.org/Abbott to sign up.
The Badger Sports Network.
The Badgers come up where the goal line stands.
From Learfield.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. A real friend. The kind of friend you want to thank. And not just with a card or a text, but with a song.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
At the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Thank you for being a friend.
.23-3 the final today. The Wisconsin Badgers beat the Northwestern Wildcats. I'm Billy Schmid alongside Lance Allen. It's time to select the energizing performance of the game brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you.
In the final 43 seconds of the first half.
Wildcats back at their own 8-yard line, first and 15. Lost the throw under pressure. Ball got knocked out, and Elijah Hills will pounce inside the 5-yard line. They knocked it out, and the Badgers with a big chance in the final 43 seconds of the first half. Exactly what they were looking to do, and they did it.
And they did it. That's our energizing performance of the game brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Lance Allen, as we look at it here on the local Wisconsin UP4 Dealers postgame, much different game. It could have been if one play later, Cade Iacomelli doesn't, from under center, score a touchdown. Goodness gracious, 3-yard score on a beautiful trickeration, misdirection play.
Oh, I love the word trickeration.
Love that. Love getting people flowing to the right, misdirection, pitch to the left, sprint and beat somebody to the front pylon. It's executed perfectly in a remarkably different game. You're looking at going into halftime, making that long walk they were talking about, walk in between halftime at a 7-0 advantage than a 14-0 game.
How about the same thing with everybody keying on Tywee Walker, and then Braden Locke has the alertness to realize that literally almost the whole Wildcats defense is crashing down on the offensive line, and he pulls out the ball and just sprints into the end zone for an easy touchdown. I mean, just awareness today was off the charts. Very, very good. Sometimes we get too stat heavy, but sometimes I think you need to key on some stats, Billy, today. 19-9, Badgers win the first down battle. I think overall total yards was a big thing, 359 to 209. And once again, running the ball, if you're doing it at a 4.6 clip, you get 199 yards. You know, I know that, the air raid thing was kind of everybody was picking at it, poking at it, making fun of it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And whatever they adjusted, okay, that's fine. The coaches have to do. But what they have done in the last 3 weeks, you do have to give them some props for that, because it's not the true total air raid offense, and they're doing what makes them successful to win, and they're doing it very, very well. This is the third straight game where you've beaten your opponent by 20 or more points. That to me, at major college football level, is getting it done, brother.
Well, and to be able to do it in very split fashion, right? Almost 200 yards on the ground, throw for a .160, throw it when you need to. They didn't necessarily have the big
explosive. Win the time of possession battle. They weren't doing that early in the year.
And the strange one is, Lance, and we've talked about it, and there are always things to correct. There's a lot to correct in this game. Good teams are able to win the games when they don't play their best.
Right.
This was far from your best game. However, if there's things that you're going to have to continue to correct, they're going to have to stop turning the football over.
Yes.
But when you're holding a team to 82 passing yards in 2024,
right?
Like that's a game-changing deal.
They've been allowed a touchdown in two of the last three games.
Talk a lot about the offense, but Mike Tressel's defense. And I thought when we were talking about in the last segment on the linebacking core, it's a very different group, right? Think about all the additions that they brought in on that defense. You're really starting to tell the speed has changed on that side of the football, and they're able to track down a lot of. Now, how will it play coming up next week? That's what people are already excited to talk about. I already know on our text line, but you celebrate and revel in this one and make a lot of corrections going into next week.
You said something very astute, my brother. That's because you agreed with me. You agreed with me in the sense that one of my philosophies, one of my philosophies is, don't always judge a team when they're clicking on all cylinders and they got all momentum on their side and how they judge a team by how they can, whether you want to call it squeak out a win, pull out a win. When the chips are down and they got to grind, how does that team react? Yeah. Today could have been a get in the mud with the pigs, slop, and lose game. Today could have been a, oh my, you know, hey, we're gonna punch you, you're going to punch us, slug it out, and you barely win game.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. How does it – I truly do judge a team by how they play when they're not either clicking on all cylinders, make mistakes, or they've got to really buckle down, knuckle down, whatever you want to say,
yeah,
and get it done. And today I think was another – good moment of growth, improvement. Luke Fickell's got plenty to harp on him about all week long, but to me, it's impressive when you don't hit on all cylinders and you still win in impressive fashion.
A lot more coming up. More of the local Wisconsin UP4 Dealers postgame show is coming up. Badgers win 23-3 in Evanston. This is Badger football from Learfield.
FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans provide best-in-class traits and genetics that perform. In farming, bushels matter to your bottom line. Our field-proven products deliver high yields year after year. Get the seed you need from the people you trust. Contact your local FS Envision and High Soy retailer or visit fsseed.com to learn more.
This is Ford Truck Month, with big offers on trucks that don't subscribe to the word impossible. Like the up-for-anything off-road ready Ranger, the adaptable Maverick, plus F-Series, America's best-selling trucks, featuring Ford F-150 and Ford Super Duty, the 2024 North American Truck of the Year. Built Ford tough trucks that see the impossible as a dare. And this is Ford Truck Month, with offers that make owning one possible. Get to your Wisconsin Ford dealer. Claim 1977 to 2023 CY total sales.
Badger football is on the air.
And the Badgers defense puts a touchdown on the board.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized. Then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
They've been rocking audiences for decades. It's Boghat. Performing live November 30th. At Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells.
I just want to make...
With special guest, The Empty Pockets. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. Legendary rock band Foghat. Live in concert November 30th at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Your odds are better here.
Must be 21 to attend concert.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I am coming at you with the recommendation that if you have recently lost your job, I am so sorry. And you should apply for unemployment. Look, we all pay taxes for a rainy day, and being unemployed is that day. It doesn't matter if your employer is letting you go because they're downsizing or because they don't like your work. You can submit a claim to your state unemployment office. Now, the only reasons you can't get unemployment is if you quit your job or if you've been fired for like certain kinds of serious misconduct. Now, you can apply the very first day that you are out of work. If you wait, you're not going to get back payments. And after you apply, sometimes your employer will say you're not eligible because they have to pay. In that case, you just appeal the decision. People do this all the time. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. Alongside Lance Allen, this is Bill Schmidt, hoping you'll join us coming up next week from Camp Randall as the Badgers take on number 3 ranked Penn State. This is Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger football has been brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by Favorite Cat, your Caterpillar dealer throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, Hello, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Civic Media Radio Network broadcasting across Wisconsin every Saturday at 3 p.m. I hope you're all jumping around. Go, Wisconsin. And when I say go, it's forward, not backwards. I'm delighted to have Attorney General Josh Call here talking to us all about how to make sure we have safe, secure elections on November 5th, 2024. You talk about voter intimidation and threats to election workers. So how do you define that, and how do you have your staff set up to work with law enforcement around the state to make sure that we have secure and safe elections?
Well, first, the definition for what constitutes illegal voter intimidation is set out in Wisconsin statutes, and it's very fact specific. It's things like causing somebody to be in duress in a way that interferes with their exercise of the right to vote. There are also federal laws relating to voter intimidation at the polls. But fundamentally, the concern is that somebody's going to take an action to interfere with the ability of a different person to exercise that right to vote. And what we encourage folks to do is, if they see that kind of conduct, if somebody's, for example, walking around near a polling place with a firearm in a way that's trying to intimidate people, or they've got a video camera and they're closely following people around as they're walking near the polling place, or anything else that might make folks feel intimidated or feel uncomfortable exercising their right to vote, we want to encourage people to report that. And you know, the starting place for that is, first of all, the chief election official at the polling place. Wisconsin law gives them a lot of authority to make sure that order is maintained so that our elections are able to be conducted without unnecessary interference. They can do things like order people out of polling places. Another option is to contact local law enforcement. At DOJ, we work to make sure that local law enforcement and prosecutors have resources that they need, including information about what the election laws are, so they can respond if there's a concern that arises. Now, we also work closely with the Wisconsin Election Commission. They receive information from polling places around the state, and they're prepared to respond and to work with us as appropriate if there is an issue that arises. Again, it's our hope that there won't be issues, and I'm confident that almost everywhere in Wisconsin, we're going to have a very smooth process. But we also want to be prepared in case an issue does arise. And this is part of how we go about doing that.
So in terms of at the state level, do you rely on the Wisconsin State Intelligence Center folks, the Division of Criminal Investigation, to oversee this? Or how is that set up at the state level?
We have a few things we do in our office. We've got a few people who are sort of points of contact. So it could be any number of people who report a concern to us. It could be a local law enforcement agency or a prosecutor. It could be a group that's out there doing doing election protection in one way or the other. It could be that we hear from the Wisconsin Election Commission that they're hearing about an issue that arises. But we have both attorneys and investigators who are on election day ready to respond if there's an issue that arises. So, for example, if there's a need to bring some sort of legal action, we have attorneys who are ready to do that. And if there's a need for investigation, we have investigators who are prepared to respond. A lot of what we do is working in concert with others to coordinate and make sure that the local law enforcement or prosecutors have the resources they need. That's where most issues that arise would be addressed. But we're also prepared to assist as needed, both on Election Day and certainly we will be in the aftermath as well.
The in terms of looking at the lessons learned from 2020, what kind of actions or unlawful acts showed up in 2020 or in between that sort of put folks on notice on what to look for?
Well, fortunately, we've had really smooth processes at the polls. In 2020, things generally went smoothly at the polls in Wisconsin. There was concern that they wouldn't, but ultimately, people were able to exercise their right to vote without interference consistently across the state. In 2022, we had something similar happen as well. Now, I will note, one thing that's really striking is in 2022, there were close elections in Wisconsin, just like there were in 2020, but you didn't see the kind of election denialism or challenges to the results that we saw in 2020. And I think we may see again in 2024. And I think that sort of gives away the game here. I think people know that our system works. That's why nobody was challenging the results in 2022. And so if there is a challenge, I certainly encourage people to view that with appropriate skepticism. But where we did see a lot of efforts to challenge results was in the aftermath of the election. So there were the lawsuits that were brought. There was the recount, which is totally appropriate. That's part of our process. Lawsuits are appropriate as well, and we defended against those. But of course, after the certification process happened in the state, there were the events that took place in Washington, D.C., culminating with what took place on January 6th with the insurrection. And so we're going to be prepared, as we were 4 years ago, for litigation. I think there could very well be legal challenges. And again, as I mentioned before, making sure that members of Congress are prepared to certify the results is key. Now, the one thing that has changed meaningfully, I think, is the threat profile with election officials. There have been more attempts to threaten election officials, and so we want to be prepared on that. That's why we put out the guidance. One thing we have not seen in Wisconsin, but has taken place in a few other states, our efforts to interfere with the certification process of the election. I have a lot of confidence in our municipal clerks in Wisconsin, and I don't think we're going to see that happen here. But if it does, first of all, you know, the clerks have a legal obligation to certify the results. And if they're violating their obligations, that's a really serious issue. But again, we would be prepared to take legal action and ensure that the process moves forward quickly if there is an attempt to interfere with the mechanics of getting the results certified.
The you know, we have our state and our country really, really at each other, very, very divided. I mean, if you're watching TV, every other ad is, you know, attack, attack, attack. November 5th is going to pick a winner, but it's not going to solve the problem of the other side. Now, you're not on the ballot, so you're going to be here before and after the election. How do you see your role in continuity in addressing the division?
Well, first, I think it's critical after any election for people to come together. And that's part of what was so damaging about what took place in the aftermath of the 2020 election. We have a long history of people acknowledging the results of the election and bringing folks together. That didn't happen there. So hopefully it will happen in 2024. But regardless of what happens in the presidential race, I think it's critical that that elected officials and other people who are involved in the political process make clear to the public that at the end of the day, our system works, it can be relied upon. And fundamentally, we are all Americans. You know, we have a shared destiny, we have shared values and shared goals, and bringing people together through equal justice under the law and by working collaboratively is critical to the success of this country.
Thank you, Attorney General Josh Call. Thank you for helping keep us safe and secure. Elections Forward Wisconsin, jump around.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 17 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris visiting a Get Out the Vote event in Detroit.
We're going to go vote today. We're going to remind people to vote. We're going to register folks to vote. We're going to email, text, phone call, knock on doors.
She'll be in Atlanta later while former President Trump campaigns in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters at a G7 defense meeting in Italy the U.S. wants Israel to scale back strikes in Lebanon. He also noted a sharp decline in the amount of humanitarian aid entering Gaza. Meanwhile, Hezbollah launched drones from Lebanon into Israel. One of them targeted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's personal residence. He was not there, but called it an assassination attempt. And Boeing says the striking Boeing machinists say the latest offer is worth considering. They'll vote Wednesday. It could end the five-week strike. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers and the Texans. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Houston Texans, kickoff tomorrow at noon. I asked Packers quarterback Jordan Love about facing Houston's defensive line, led by Will Anderson and former Viking Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, no, they are definitely a very good defense. I think all around, you know, they got very good players everywhere. So I think it all starts up front. They got a really good D-line, some good edge rushers, and coverages, everything. I mean, in the back end is very good. Their DBs are good. Linebackers are good. So I think they're a solid team all around.
Love, of course, waited 3 years to play behind Aaron Rodgers. Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud was able to start his rookie year.
I feel like maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. You know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions. Is like, no matter what route you're in, or like, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit. Like, my dad used to always tell me, cream rises to the top.
That's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, a high near 72, and a south wind at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 53 degrees. Sunshine for Sunday and nice with highs in the low 80s. For Monday, mostly sunny and a high near 80.
Currently 66 degrees.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
And I heard the scientists say the other day that when a man votes for a woman, he actually transitions into a woman.
What Jesse happens Water. When a woman votes for a man?
Turns into a man.
But well, that's okay, though.
That's fine.
Yeah, because then she gets control of her body.
Oh.
I see what I did there?
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of, like, why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Michael Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to discuss Trump's attacks on democracy. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Saturday at 3 p.m. on Civic Media. Folks, I am honored and privileged to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez here with us. We are on the eve of a huge election, not only federally, but statewide. Thank you for being here, Lieutenant Governor. Hello again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, you know, you're the Lieutenant Governor the day before the election. You're Lieutenant Governor the day after the election because you and our Governor, Tony Earle, are... Tony, do you hear that? do you believe I said that?
Tony Evers.
Yes, yeah. I know. How's that, right?
It's okay.
That's a flashback. A flashback.
I know, a flashback.
So please tell our governor that he reminded me of another governor. But here, you guys are going to be there before and after. And it's, you know, it's really, really just divisive this time around. You've been all over the state. How do you sense the public sentiment? And, you know, what's it looking like going into this race?
So what I hear when I go all around the state is that people are really tired of the divisiveness. I hear that from Republicans. I hear that from Democrats. I hear that from independents. And this is why I'm hopeful that we are going to be able to turn the page and have Kamala Harris as our president so that we do not go back to the chaos of Donald Trump for the last four, you know, for the next 4 years. I'm seeing really good signs all across, you know, the state. I live in Waukesha County, as you know, and we've had just record levels of volunteers for the Waukesha County Democratic Party, standing room only for many of those meetings. So this looks really good for the Democrats here in Wisconsin, but we know it's going to be a tight race. And I just think it's really important for everybody to have their voice be heard, to vote for who represents your values. And, you know, for me, that's the Harris-Walz ticket.
You're out there at the street level talking to voters, even though your name's not on the ballot. What are the number one, number two, number three concerns of voters? And, you know, what's going to be the issue that flips this thing one way or the other?
So it does kind of depend on who you're talking to. When I talk to women, reproductive choice is something that comes up over and over again, that is something that is motivating for women in this state to go and vote and make sure that they can restore their reproductive rights. So that comes up quite a bit, particularly among young people as well. The economy is another area where I think folks, families in particular, are wanting to make sure that the economy continues to grow. We've had in Wisconsin record-breaking unemployment rates, the number of people working. We want to see that continue for the next 4 years. And these are some of the policies that we've been able to get from the Biden-Harris administration. And that is what I'm hearing, that they want to make sure that they can, you know, send their kids to school, that they can afford childcare, that they're able to, you know, make their budget with the groceries. And Harris and Walz have a plan to be able to do that, to be able to support families. And all we're kind of seeing out of Donald Trump is, you know, more tax cuts for his millionaire and billionaire friends.
I think it's really his billionaire friends.
Yeah, that, I mean, probably.
If you really look at where he's talking and who he's hanging around with, it's the billionaires that are really, really, really being protected here. And union workers and working families being ignored. I wanted to go back and talk a little bit in more detail about reproductive rights and the whole Dobbs reversal of Roe. How is that playing out with healthcare providers, though, too? I mean, this is issued just not just for women. It's impacting doctors and health providers across the state. How is that impacting the election?
Yeah, as you know, Mark, I'm a nurse by background and by training. And so I continue to have a lot of friends and old colleagues who practice clinically. And it has been a huge issue in the state of Wisconsin. We originally, after the Dobbs decision came down, we had that 1849 abortion law that was a criminal abortion ban, no exceptions for rape or incest, that two physicians needed to certify that the woman's life was at risk, not even her health, but life was at risk. You know, we were able to restore reproductive rights here in Wisconsin. However, if you look at Project 2025 and some of the things that ex-President Trump has said, they're looking to do a national abortion ban, and that would mean that no state is safe. And when I talk to providers about that, they know how dangerous this is. We have heard horrifying stories come out of our state, other states, about how women could not get the care that they needed, and some of them died. And what's going to happen, particularly if it ends up being just left up to the states, we already have a shortage of OBGYNs in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to be looking at additional shortages across the state. People are not going to want to train here because they don't want to risk their license. They don't want to risk their livelihood to come to a place where they can't, you know, fully do what they need to do to protect their patients. I mean, that's what we're hearing about.
So I'm glad you reminded everyone that you are from Waukesha. So, you know, that is sort of the heartland of Wisconsin, which is the heartland, right? So what Waukesha does and doesn't do on November 5th is going to tell a lot for the whole statewide election.
It will, honestly. Yeah.
Do you sense that women in Waukesha County are going to be coming out for Harris Walz?
I do. And I will tell you a story. So my mom, she's going to be turning 80 pretty soon. And she and many of her friends, she was a longtime Republican, right? So I may have turned her over to voting for Democrats because, of course, you know, we talk about it all the time. So now she votes for Democrats. But many of her friends, her contemporaries around her same age, have traditionally voted Republican. But they saw what it was like pre-Roe. So they had their children, many of them pre-Roe or right around that time when Roe was passed. So they know what it was like when they did not have those protections. And they saw that those years where they were going to be able to have, you know, protections for reproductive rights. So this is personal for them. And I have talked to a multitude of folks, women who are older, who saw what happened, pre-Roe, and don't want to go back to that. And I think there's going to be folks who, in the privacy of their voting booth, even if they've traditionally voted for Republicans in the past, are going to be voting for Democrats this cycle because of that. Because we have to be able to protect the rights of our kids, our grandkids, to make sure that they're going to be able to get the health care that they need. It is very scary to me as a clinician that providers will not be able to do what they need to do, that we are going to see more women die like we saw in Georgia, that those women who came out when they did their maternal mortality review, they died because they could not get the care that they needed in Georgia because of their abortion ban.
So as you go around the state, how do the issues move folks, right? I mean, is there a difference in terms of what's impacting the valley up in Green Bay, up Eau Claire North, you know, along La Crosse, Mississippi? You know, I mean, what do you sense?
So I think there are some things that are universal across the state of Wisconsin, but then regionally, I do believe that there are some differences. Universally across the state, I am hearing about reproductive rights. universally across the state, I'm hearing about the economy and whether that's housing prices or childcare. Those are two things that come up quite consistently and wanting to have real responsible plans for that. But also fully funding our public schools. This is something that when I talk to all across the state of Wisconsin, this is really important to people. When you get to more rural areas, what I am hearing about is making sure that there are markets for our farmers, that there were some real issues that we had on the federal side to make sure that they are able to have markets that they can send their goods to, that water quality is good. We've got a PFAS issue here in Wisconsin, and farmers know what that looks like. Lastly is internet access. So if you're looking all across the state of Wisconsin, the Biden-Harris administration has really put investment into making sure that our rural areas have internet access. And the policies of Governor Evers and myself have pushed those dollars out to those communities. So we are working on to make sure that everybody has access. So depending on where you are, there's some subtle differences in what people are really interested in and want to talk about. But the reality is that there are some universal concerns with this election.
How do you see the race for the Senate and our Senator Tammy Baldwin's chances? What's the sense?
So for me, we are just such a purple state. It is going to be close. I don't want to sugarcoat it. People are going to have to get out to vote. They are going to have to talk to their friends. If they want to make sure that Tammy Baldwin, who has been an amazing friend to farmers and manufacturers across the state of Wisconsin, if we want to keep her in our state, making sure she's advocating for us, people are going to have to get out and vote for her. It is going to be tight. There's a ton of money being poured into the state to try to have Eric Hovde win this race. He's parachuting in from California. He's a billionaire parachuting in from California with his own money. I want somebody who has a good investment in this state and wants to see us thrive, and that is Tammy Baldwin.
Historically, Tammy has been out there fighting for working folks, family farmers, fighting for unions. And What is her opponents, what are people being attracted to? Why would they like a billionaire from California coming in?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask them. But the only thing that I can hear is he's parroting Trump's talking points, right? So he's talking about, banning abortion. He's talking about all of these, cultural issues that are not on the top of people's list. Right, of what they really want to do to make sure that they can take care of their families. I just think that we have to keep our eyes on the prize. And what do we want for our families here in Wisconsin? What do we want to see us going forward? Do we want to continue the pathway that we're on, where we have low unemployment, where we have the most people working, where we have a plan for housing, a plan for childcare? Or do we want to go back and just do tax cuts for billionaires? I mean, I know what I want to do. I want to make sure that working families, like the one that I grew up in and the one I am now, is able to provide for their families. And so that's why I want to make sure that we are going up and down the ballot. It is so important. The state assembly and state senate races are so important in Wisconsin. We finally have fair maps. We are a purple state. And for 14 years, we have had a gerrymandered state where the governor and I won with about 3 percentage points. Yet we currently, under the old maps, have a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate, and almost a supermajority of Republicans in the Assembly. These new maps are going to make us more purple, exactly how we're represented today. And I have to tell you, again, I live in Waukesha County. I have the privilege of speaking to Republicans on a regular basis. I may even have family members that have voted Republican in the past. They want us to be well represented in the state of Wisconsin and make sure that our assembly and our Senate reflects what we want within the state. And it currently doesn't today. Folks, so these down ballot races are so important.
Folks, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, we're talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward. And we are talking about what we need to do before November 5th, 2024. Back with our Lieutenant Governor momentarily.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Have you ever lost anybody on one of the tours?
The question really isn't did you lose people or did you gain them? True story, one of our drivers.
So he gets home, picked up a Spirit along the tour.
Yeah, he's in bed, and then all of a sudden the treadmill starts up on him.
See, if I were a ghost, I think I would just get liposuction. I don't think I would mess around with cardio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hello, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Folks, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is with us today. Thanks so much again, Lieutenant Governor. You know, we're talking about that we have new maps and that there is a hope in the air that we can have a purple state actually look purple in Madison and... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe get some legislation passed. And, you know, there's surpluses sitting around that haven't been sent back to the people, you know,
right.
I know you and the governor wanted to get the money back out to the people, but we're tied up there. So one thing I wanted to touch on before we jump back into the state issue, you know, we have so many farms and family farms that rely on immigrant labor to milk cows. And, you know, we had this bill that Democrats had in Congress, and Biden was ready to sign it if the Senate would have passed it. That, I mean, Trump killed it. That really would have addressed immigration reform in a way that would have moved things forward. As you go around the state, especially in farm country where people rely on immigrants to milk the cows, what are you hearing out there?
It's just not top of mind for them, right? So this is not something that they put as number one on their list of why they're voting a certain way. It's really about making sure that their rights are respected, making sure that they can take care of their families financially, making sure that there are good access to either schools or broadband within the area. And farmers understand that a lot of their labor, you know, comes from immigrant labor. And so they know that these folks are hardworking people who keep these farms afloat. And they don't see them as the awful rhetoric that we're hearing out of the Trump campaign. You also know as well, my husband is an immigrant from Mexico. You know, it's personal for me when I hear this really vile, very violent rhetoric coming out of the Trump campaign about immigrants. It's scary to me, for my family, and it's something that really shouldn't be tolerated within the political discourse.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's to me, it's always really, you know, a mystery how, I mean, I go by and I see some big Trump signs on farms and I know that they're milking cows and I go, you know, you wouldn't be milking any cows if Trump got elected and he had the army come in and, you know, arrest everybody that doesn't look white like me. I mean, you know, it's like, very, very unhealthy. So here, what are young people saying as you go around the state?
Yeah, so it is interesting. So if you talk to younger folks, they are, you know, they are politically active. And I know they don't vote in the same percentages that perhaps older folks vote, but they are really interested in making a difference within their community. Again, reproductive rights, I've said this before, this is top of mind for young people. It's something that is really motivating them. The one that I hear a lot from individuals is the environment, that they're going to have to live in the world that we leave them. And they want to make sure that we are taking care of our environment, that these, you know, that these storms that you're seeing in Florida, that you're seeing in North Carolina, that's real to them. Climate change is real to them. And so trying to make sure that we are addressing those issues is a top priority for younger people as well. They're going to want to have families. They want to leave their children in a place that's habitable. And we need to make sure that we're addressing those concerns as well.
You know, it seems to me that folks on our college campuses, and UW's got a lot of campuses. Do you see the level ticking up there? Do you see people participating?
We do. The last election we had, I would tell you that many of our campuses had lines around the corner with students voting. We have really fantastic organizers on each of the campuses trying to make sure that people know how to vote, how to register to vote, how to make sure that their vote is counted. And we are seeing, you know, record-breaking voting participation. We still want more. We want every single person to use their voice. And we just need to make it easier for students to be able to vote. They shouldn't have to wait in hours in line to be able to vote. This is a right that we have. It is a right to vote, and it is a responsibility as citizens of the state of Wisconsin and United States citizens. And so we need to make sure that we are addressing any barriers there are to voting as well.
So as you go around the state, what are you telling folks they should be doing?
Well, I'm telling them they should talk to their neighbors, talk about how important this election is, make sure that they're having those difficult conversations. If they're interested in volunteering, connect with their county party, because we will put you on the doors and make sure that you can knock on doors and talk to people. Connect with candidates. Look at what they have out there. What are their values? Do those values align with your own? What do you want to see for the future? And so making sure that you are participating within this democracy, that it is very, very important that you vote in this election and every other election after this, not just the big ones, right? The big presidential ones. But I just talked about the state assembly, that their state assembly folks are up every 2 years. They're not always on a presidential election. We need to make sure we're voting for people who represent us here in Wisconsin, too.
You know, you and Governor Evers are there and have been the protector of the public in this gerrymandered time. Where should the focus be in terms of the assembly and the Senate? If you're telling people where to get busy, where should they get busy?
So we are running candidates in 97 out of 99 assembly districts, right? And we are
That's new.
We have never done that before. And that is because we have fair maps right now. We have an opportunity to have our assembly and our Senate look purple. And this should be something that Democrats and Republicans should be concerned about. Because, and I say this all the time, when you have deep red and deep blue districts, the only thing you're worried about is a primary from your right or your left. And there is a disincentive to work across the aisle. Now that we're going to have purple districts, there's going to be incentive to work across the aisle. We're going to be able to get stuff done.
Folks,
and so making sure that you are able to be able to do that, I think is going to be really exciting.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Register to vote. Vote and vote blue down the ballot, folks. November 5th, 2024. Let's go, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Thank you. As you live and breathe.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll find out what 9-year-old podcaster Beckett Kays got to say about Sunday's game.
And we'll check in with Mike Pritzel and get an update on hurricane relief efforts in Florida.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.